push the button and okay, so now we have volumes and stuff. I'm assuming I kind of want to hear about PAX and stuff. So we're probably gonna... today's theme is PAX.
Yeah. Well, I have a
I've got a PAX stuff. So I'm just testing my volume. My volume's pretty high actually. But I need to check on your side. Yeah, I'm hitting the twos. Maybe a three when I got that loud.
Okay.
Is a three okay though? That was a.
I mean, three's fine.
You go.
Okay. I'm talking. I'm watching Overwatch. Two. Overwatch League Stage 2 has started.
Cool, cool. All
right.
Shall good? I actually yep. hit the record button?
Yep.
It said mark one.
Did you hit play?
I might have been recording for like the last 40 something. Yeah, it's at 50 seconds.
Okay, so it recorded all our tests stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no. They'll know all our secrets of like. Us counting off numbers. But yes, do we need to make another intro now?
No, I think this will work.
Oh, crap.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
And I'm exhausted, like, mentally. I've had a... So... Thursday of last week, I was on a train, went up to Boston. Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, PAX East. Monday, train back. Tuesday, full work day plus Muse concert.
Saw that. Was that, like, did you know that they were going to overlap that way? Or
Not when I got the Muse tickets in October of last year and the PAX East tickets in November of last year and then looked in March of this year and went, oh.
Yeah. So I was like, are you just trying to, like, be that confident that I got this?
No, this was not an I got this. This was an, oh, okay, I can do this, maybe. And power through. It's like Muse concert, then doctor's appointment the next morning, then really crazy work day. And yeah, I'm pretty like brain powered out at this point because it took a lot of energy.
The perfect time to record a podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely. This is just well thought out, great timing. I have so much energy. I have so many ideas.
Wait, am I supposed to talk now?
No, I got it. All right. So one of the things I did while I was at PAX East was I went to a podcast meetup for a podcast I listened to called What's Good Games.
Ah.
And I met people there. We like chatted. Everyone was there is obviously into video games, so I don't need to make anyone there a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked with one guy. He hosts Plus One Gamer. It's another podcast, and I'm kind of giving him a little shout out here because he was a real cool dude. We talked for like 45 minutes. It was real interesting because we had a lot of things in common. Like we both record our episodes on Thursdays.
Competition then.
We both release our episodes the next week. And so I was talking to him like, you feel like you're behind on news cycle stuff because you release later? And, you know, so we had the same kind of.
I'm curious, actually, like, because I wonder about that sometimes myself.
I mean, yeah, he said the same thing. He's like, the news cycle passes so fast. It's so hard to keep up. They're actually thinking about changing their schedule to be slightly less time between them. But yeah, so one of the things that he talked about kind of inspired me, though, is that because he talked about how he and his other co-hosts, like, they did specific segments. Like, they do, like, an hour and a half to 2 hour show, and they have, like, block A is this, block B is news, block C is games they're playing, you know, mm-hmm. or things like that. Or they have, like, games they play or random skits or whatever, you know, kind of like they have stuff. And we don't do that.
No. At like, best, we have, like, unplanned bits.
Yeah.
Because they're not even, like... organized. I mean, like, there's an intro to the show, there's the flow of the show, and then we close the show.
Yeah, we just kind of talk about things, like whatever we decide we want to talk about. And so I was thinking for our PAX East episode back, I'm just spitballing here. Okay. I was coming up with segments or segment ideas or things, fun things to do in addition to just like, all right, well, this is this random news story that happened this week. So what inspired me was we did the MCU tournament for you.
Yes.
And so what I've come up with is a segment that I'm going to call Harvey Z Snaps. And I'm going to give you two choices, and you have to snap one out of existence.
Ooh,
like 50-50, you get one thing, two things, you snap.
Snap judgment, or do I get to think about it?
Oh, you get to think about it. This, but I love the horror in your voice when I paired Black Panther with Captain Marvel, and you were like...
Oh, this isn't going to be pleasant, is it?
Oh, no, it's not.
Well, I was like, oh, this is... I like telling you things I like. I have opinions. Yeah. Sure. I'm a man.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sorry to give it away, but this isn't going to be just like fun and dandy things.
Okay. So it's T-Man tortures Harvey Z.
If that's what you want to call the segment, I was thinking of calling it Harvey Z Snaps. But so we're going to start off with this and then get into some PAX East stuff because I did say we were going to talk about PAX East. But so I wanted to give you a very hard one to start off with. Like, okay. This might cause you mental...
I refuse to believe that. I feel I'm confident. Harvey Z is prepared.
All right. XCOM, Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh, I mean, and when I snap my fingers, I'm destroying one.
Yeah, one just doesn't exist anymore.
But these are like formative things to my childhood.
That's...
Like, no, you're a dick, sir. A dick. Like... Not that, does it exist in the world? Like, do others know the benefit at least? And I just haven't been introduced perhaps right now?
No, this is Thanos snaps. Like, you snap, and then one of them just never existed. Like you remember it, but it's just gone for now.
I still have the memories at least.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's gone forever. Like, you won't ever get to play it again.
Do other people know that it existed, or do I sound like a crazy person?
Everyone remembers, you know, Spider-Man and Bucky and all the people that disappeared. So it's Thanos snap rules, where, like, from this point forward, it just doesn't exist anymore.
And when you say Toe Jam and Earl, when you say X-Men,
everything connected to them.
The franchise.
Not a single game.
The single game.
Everything that... ever happened. Any figurines you might have collected, any posters,
after you fan give art. Me a figurine, it's like, I will destroy this now. Okay. I'm trying to, because I was like, oh, if it goes out of existence forever, that would be awful for me, because, like, Toe Jam and Earl was my childhood, sir.
I know.
Like, my early formative first gaming experiences came from that.
I know. Why do you think I chose this?
I'll have that memory. Yeah. I'm currently playing through XCOM 2. I'm enjoying it. There's going to be future XCOMs, I'm assuming. I haven't even beaten the new Toe Jam and Earl.
Right.
But I'm going to snap. I'm sorry, bro. I'm going to snap Toe Jam and Earl because at least I have the memories and I've developed as a person and it's shaped me and who I am. But I wasn't expecting the gift of Toe Jam and Earl, like the new game. So I was okay with not going back and playing those because I have those memories. But XCOM, I'm still
You're still making memories?
I'm still making memories. I'm still getting ready. If there's a new XCOM, I'm hoping for it. Like, I gotta beat the game, dude. oh, man. And if you had said no memories of the thing, I might have switched it. Because Toe Jam and Earl is my personality comes from. Toe Jam and Earl, but
get funky.
Yes, what I love about games though and strategy and stuff comes from XCOM. But that's not I'm not developed as a person because of XCOM. I don't kick in doors to rooms and go all right, we got to check out what's going on. There's none of that.
I can imagine you doing that though. That'd be kind of great. If just every time you entered a room,
kick in the door, or you go in first, or just all my friends go in first. Yeah,
peeking around the corner just to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Punching old people to make sure they're not aliens. It's a twofer.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yes, I will destroy the very thing I love, Toe Jam and Earl, but I will have sweet, sweet memories of it.
Yes.
I will talk about it incessantly.
Make sure people never forget.
Yes. People will never forget the sacrifice of Toe Jam and Earl.
Okay.
All right. I just won't tell anybody that I was the snapper.
All right. Well, I wanted to... I'm not sure if every one of these will be as difficult or
you going to intentionally try, though?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It won't... Every time... I won't be going for this every time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I might just do mustard and mayonnaise.
I'm sorry. Wait, do I get to keep the hybrids? Like Dijonnaise and like...
No, no. Like mustard goes away or mayonnaise. I'm not... You don't have to do it right now unless
mustard.
You want to.
I'm sorry. Mustard. Goodbye, mustard. Mayo is too essential.
Oh. Yeah, I think I might actually have to agree with you on that one. Like, I like some forms of mayonnaise, and while I've never really liked any sort of mustard.
You monster. You have no idea what you've done. I've lost Toe Jam and Earl and mustard in this planet.
All right, we'll keep a running tally. I won't put any more on you, but... Okay. For now, but this is, is it, you feel like this something you it might be a good,
I don't
like,
mind, and I can do brief, like, kind of reactions to it and such, yeah, we yeah, won't yeah. make it a full, I'm hoping not to go, like, 15 minutes of agony.
Oh, God, no, I just feel like this is a good intro, like, way, maybe I'll let you, flip it on me occasionally, You know, this is a good way for people to get to know us, you know, what really matters to us.
Mayonnaise or mustard. Now you know. And eventually I'm just going to look back and go, like, what kind of a world did this guy destroy? Like, when they're like, oh, Harvey Z snapped. And then it's like, oh, one guy was like, ah, my mustard and my Toe Jam and Earl. Like, somebody who had both things recognizes. Like, wait.
Okay. So, PAX East.
PAX East. What is PAX, for those who don't know?
So, PAX stands for Penny Arcade Expo.
Oh.
It was started, obviously, by the Penny Arcade guys, Gabe and Tycho. Tycho, right?
Is that how? Tycho Brahe?
Yeah. I assume that's how it's pronounced. And so it was originally in Seattle, and that's called PAX Prime. Uh-huh. And that's usually every September or somewhere in the fall. They also do, and it's basically expanded, they do PAX East, which is the one I just went to in Boston. They also have PAX South in Austin, Texas, I believe, and also a PAX Australia.
Is there a PAX West? I thought
PAX West is Seattle, which is PAX. Oh, they also known as PAX Prime. Can be called both. A lot of people call it PAX Prime because it was the first. It's the main one. I think this might have been the first year they expanded PAX East to 4 days, so it was Thursday to Sunday. I was only able to get days off and tickets for Friday and Sunday. It was funny because all the panels I really wanted to go to were on Thursday and Saturday.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, but like all the podcasts I listened to had panels on Thursday and Saturday. There was a good how to break into podcasting panel, like how to build your audience on Thursday, you know, things like that.
We don't need that.
Nah, we don't need that. We've got our audience. Right, guys? Tell your friends, please.
Please.
But I had a lot of fun. I already mentioned the podcast meetup that I went to on Saturday, which was really fun and nice meeting other people with the same interests. On Friday was kind of like a scouting day. I did a little bit of everything. I went to a panel or two. I played a couple games. I played a couple board games. Mm-hmm. So like PAX is not just video games. It's like split between tabletop gaming and video gaming. So there's like a huge tabletop area where you can just play board games with people. They have board game tournaments like going the entire time from like 10 a.m. until 6, which is when the expo main hall closes.
Do they have like speakers at the evenings, or do they have like big shows or something at the end?
They do have a couple like live podcast recording type things on and big panels and things like that. They're usually panels going throughout the day. When the main exhibition hall closes at 6, they still have like panels going. And like the open area where you can play tabletop games is open until midnight. But the expo area where like people are debuting their games and things like that is closed after a certain point. I think it was 6. So Friday was like a scouting day. Then Sunday I played a lot of video games. Like I was just going around trying all sorts of different indie games.
And so like you were saying, new games are being debuted at PAX?
Yes. Oh. They have a lot of like previews and demos. It isn't like E3. Where you get like big Nintendo and like Sony, they're all there, but this isn't like Sony. I think had Days Gone, which is their upcoming zombie game coming out at end of April, and it obviously had big lines because it was the big AAA game. But this is much more focused on like indie developers and like not the big multi-billion dollar budget games or whatever from Activision or whatever. And that was nice because like every time I stood in a booth, usually if I was talking to somebody that was like promoting the game, it was literally one of the developers who or like the creator and not just somebody hired to talk about the game, you know?
Not a promoter or a marketer, but an actual like person who had like skin in the game, if you will. Like this was their baby.
Yeah, like it was literally the guy who made it. Like I talked, there was this game called Sparklight that I didn't actually get to play it because when I saw it, I was on my way to a panel, so I only got to stop for like a couple minutes. And then every time I tried to go back, there was like a line of people and like it was... Anyway, I didn't get to play it, but it looked really cool and I got to talk to the developer while other people were playing it. And it's a roguelite, similar to, you know, games like Gungeon or Dead Cells where... Oh, wow. Sorry, I've got the Overwatch League match going on my computer here and some guy just got a triple kill with a D.Va bomb. So
Poco?
No, not Poco. Mecco. It's the New York Excelsior playing. I'm getting distracted. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about PAX East.
Cut this all out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Sparklight, it's an interesting difference to regular roguelites because what roguelites usually do is you start your run with nothing. Mm-hmm. You slowly build up things throughout the run, probably die, but you use that run to add things to future runs. Like you unlock new guns and enter the gungeon or get new abilities or things like that. But every time you start a run, you're starting at zero. You just might find cooler things now that you've progressed further. What Sparklight is... said they were doing is you go through the world and you would unlock like a hub to go to. And so between runs, you have like this hub that you build up that has like shops or new abilities or new things to buy. And instead of starting each run at zero, you can like equip yourself going into the run like, oh, I'm not going to try for a boss this time. I just want to collect as much stuff as I can. So I'm going to equip this ability that gets me more stuff to get. Like it unlocks more items. Or, you know, so instead of that starting from scratch every time you go into the world that normally roguelites have, you have more, there's more of a sense of accomplishment and you're actually building something in addition to going on these runs.
Like the hub being not a town, but like a little marketing, not a marketing market area or a little like clubhouse.
Kind of. Yeah. Like, like a little small, I didn't see if it was like a little village or something like that, but that's what I'm imagining in my head.
Huh.
And that sounded interesting. It has real cute, like neat pixel art, looks very like SNES Genesis era. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I hear you, picked up a Genesis Mini.
We can talk about that. I have buyer's remorse. We'll talk about that existential crisis coming up.
Okay. So that was one of the highlights. The other highlight game that I got to play is called Creature in the Well. It's supposed to be coming out later this year for PC and Switch. And the guy, the developer, he described it as a hack and slash pinball game. It's very interesting. It's kind of like... So you're exploring a dungeon and you have this... sword that you use to like bounce balls around, but you're not like fighting enemies. You're like trying to knock these things over, kind of like a pinball thing. And you get like special abilities, like if you slash it more than one time, it charges up and has more power, and there are occasionally like lasers trying to kill you and stuff like that. But it's much more of like a finding the right angles and figuring out the puzzle as you're exploring this dungeon.
Is it a side scroller or
it's kind of like top down ish.
Yeah.
Similar to, you know, Toe Jam and Earl or something like that, where you're like see the you're above and kind of walking around. Very similar to Legend of Zelda, I think.
Yeah.
And he did describe that it would be Zelda like and that you would find like new weapons or things to help you in the dungeon as you explore. And so you might find a new way to bounce a ball around. Like when I was playing, I I got a sword, and then I found a secret area and got an upgrade that created a line every time I hit the ball so I could see where I was going to hit it and aim better. So it's just a little random stuff like that.
Got it. Almost like Breakout in a way of like the advanced later where you have like special power-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of.
In a melee hack and slash sort of.
Yeah, like you have your main thing is a sword and you use the sword to like hit the ball around and like power it up. There's like a one button like you holds the ball in place and like charges it up. Yeah. And another button is like hit it out. So like you're just kind of like you'll see all these balls bounce towards you and you'll kind of grab them in and start like hitting them and powering them up. And then you'll whack them in a specific direction to try and hit something in particular.
Got it. I'm now envisioning like racquetball at the YMCA and like somebody just like busting out of the glass and like running around hitting people with racquetballs.
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, if they had a sword instead of a racket and they're like in a suit of armor.
Or if they just had imagination.
Oh, yeah. Okay. let me double check. I wrote down everything that I did at PAX to make sure I didn't. One of the things I liked is that there was just a section where Jackbox was going the entire time. So if you wanted to just take a break, like while you're eating lunch or something, you can load up Jackbox on your phone.
Like on your own device or phone or such.
Well, there was a game going all the time, and like just the first 8 people that signed up could just play the game, and that was fun. I saw this really cool game that reminded me it would be like a great game to play for if we were still doing YouTube stuff. It was called Heave Ho, and it was basically it was 4 players, and each person was just like a face with 2 arms. Uh-huh. And you had to like move the arms and like grab each other and swing everyone around, and you had to be super coordinated because like they're just like bottomless pits and spikes everywhere, and like
cooperative game.
Yeah, it's a cooperative game.
You're not trying to
You're all trying to get to like the goal, but you have to work together because like you have to all like make one long 4-person chain to reach from one point to another point, and if somebody messes up, like you all fall and die and have to start over.
I imagine a lot of yelling would occur.
Yeah, it would probably be a lot of yelling. There was a lot of laughing, too, because, one guy would go for it and then just leave everyone else stranded. And, like, it was entertaining. I think it would make good YouTube videos.
Is it, like, so when I think of those types of games, is it, like, something on the Switch? Is it a computer? Or is it, like, a mobile?
I'm not actually sure what that system was on. I assume it's on, like, PC and Switch. Mm-hmm. But I just assume everything is on the Switch at this point. Especially indie games, because a lot of indie developers like to release on Switch. I got to play a couple board games. I played in a 7 Wonders tournament. I didn't win.
Did you come close?
No. I
lie. Lie.
Oh, yeah. I was in second place. I got really good. Mm. I was just amazing. In fact, I'm amazing at everything.
Hey.
Don't take my word for it.
That's my shtick.
There's a report on it. I swear, like, everything in the report exonerates me and is true. And it says I'm awesome. You don't have to read the report. Just, you know, listen to me.
I'll write up a 1-paragraph summary.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Harvey, you got me.
Yeah.
What else?
My own curiosity of, like, the things I would do at PAX. Did you go to any of the D&D stuff?
Because
that's what I know PAX for.
No, I didn't go to any D&D stuff. I know there was some of that going on, but like there was so much other things that I was trying to do. Like it's kind of overwhelming with just how much there is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, you know, booths in the exhibition hall for just like dice and cool D&D booklets and, you know, all those kind of things. I think there were a couple panels where people were like playing D&D games or something like that.
Yeah, and like the panels they have are usually like, unfortunately, like 1 hour to 2 hours long. So like you'd miss out on a lot if you went to watch like Acquisitions Incorporated is like 2 hours or so.
Right. Yeah. There was definitely an Acquisitions Incorporated panel. And like people were, there was a big line for it.
All I know PAX for is actually 3 times a year. There's the main storyline of ACK Inc. It's furthered by like these shows.
Really?
I have to wait. So if you want to go and watch it, literally there's 10 years worth of content because it's only the major players at this point come out on those. Like, you can watch the side stories and the other realms, but like the big kind of pay-per-view meetups, if we're doing it like wrestling terms, they happen like at PAXes, only at the PAXes.
Oh, interesting. That explains why everyone was waiting for that panel.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not go to that. I did go to a speedrun panel, though. That was real fun to watch. Some guy in an hour beat Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, and DuckTales.
And DuckTales.
Yeah. Oh, right. Just... Well, so the panel was Super Mario Brothers 2 and 3, but he beat both in 30 minutes, and it's an hour panel. So he just also played DuckTales.
Oh, the new one?
No, no. Oh, oh. The NES one.
The hard one.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he talk while he did it, or it was just like not, intense concentration?
He talked a little bit. He would like him. I think I want to say his YouTube and Twitch is husband and wife play.
Uh-huh.
And so the husband was playing and the wife was talking, sort uh-huh. of. That's how it went out. And he would talk more during the not stressful parts. Mm-hmm. Like, he would finish part and be like, that was the hardest part of this. Like, the rest of this is going to be super easy. But he would be like super intensely focused during that like short 30 second section.
And he wasn't doing things like, oh, this is a bug in the game to just skip ahead or something.
No, he didn't do any. I think he went through a wall once in Super Mario Brothers 3, but everything else was just straight gameplay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, I know that you can beat the game in like a minute or something if you do, not exaggerated, but like there's like flutes or cheats, but it's like a bug in the game. And I was like, oh, you went and watched like a guy like, in five, but you said 30 minutes, so he
yeah no through. He played both, like, I mean, he used warp pipes and warp whistles and but all that stuff, but it was all actual in-game stuff.
Cool.
It's very interesting because you can do Super Mario Bros. 3 super fast, except that you have to play every single level in the final world. Like, you can't, there isn't anything you can skip in like world 8. Uh-huh. So you can get to world 8 in about 2 minutes, uh-huh. but then the rest of the speed run is just simply doing slogging Bowser and getting levels. To Bowser. Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. And there was other stuff that I'll probably go into in, with blog posts and things like that. But those two games, Sparklight and Creature in the Well, were the two indie games that really stood out to me. I also played Katana Zero, which I think will be coming out either the week this podcast is out or the following week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basic. Are you familiar with Hotline Miami?
I'm going to Hotline Bling, but it's not Hotline Bling.
No.
Hotline Miami, is that the ultra violent, like...
It's like 80s style, top down.
Shooting and stuff. Yeah.
It was basically like side scrolling Hotline Miami. Like, if you get hit once, you die, and you have to start the room over from the beginning. But you're like a ninja katana wielding samurai type Bushido person. And you're just like, have each room, and it's set up in a way so like your character has precognition. And so that's why every time you die, like a little pop thing pops up and it's like, no, that won't work. And so each room is just you playing through the scenario until you get it right.
That was the real one.
That was the real one.
Oh, I like that story, at least, explanation for why you keep dying. Okay.
Yeah. And that, it was fun. It was just like you have a sword and like a dodge ability, and you can pick up stuff and throw it at people, and you know, everyone dies in one hit. So it's not like, it's all about like, okay, you go in, I'm gonna throw this, dash to here, slice this guy, jump, slice this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's planning out what you're doing, and that was fun. I might pick that one up too. So those three games were the standouts. There were others that I played as well.
I saw you bought some games and stuff.
I did buy some games. I bought mostly board games.
Ah.
I bought three board games. The one video game I picked up, it was a special physical edition of Moonlighter, which is an indie game. And I haven't actually played Moonlighter, but I've watched people play it and I've been mm-hmm. wanting to pick it up. So I figured since I don't have it yet, I would get this cool collector's edition that had kind of like special stuff that came with it. But Moonlighter is basically, at night, it's a roguelike where you go into a dungeon and explore and collect as much stuff as you can.
Real night? Or no, in the game?
In the game.
Okay, I was night. Like, technology. No, anyway, no,
no.
Sorry.
No, in the game, at night, you're like a dungeon explorer, and it works like a roguelike.
Oh, I think I've heard of this game.
And then during the day, you sell the stuff in your shop that you got from exploring the dungeon. And you've got to be like, well, do I want to price it like this? And like, if people are unhappy, they won't buy a thing, and you have to lower the price. So people will be like, oh, yeah, it's worth that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a half simulator, half roguelike, where there's like actual action elements where you're collecting the stuff to sell, but then during the day you're just like managing your shop.
Not to sound like ignorant or so, but in my mind when I had heard about this game, I was like, this seems like the better version of Stardew Valley.
It's definitely Stardew Valley if you want to actually fight things and do like dungeon crawling. Yeah. Like, Stardew Valley is just, like, the shopping and farming and everything like that simulator.
Which, sometimes I want that.
Yeah. I haven't played enough of Stardew Valley. Like, I never was really into, like, Harvest Moon or those simulators.
Mm-hmm. I will say, Stardew Valley, there is a plot in it, and it gets creepy. It's interesting.
Really?
I wasn't expecting it. I don't actually know if it becomes more, but like there was a part where it was like some children are afraid of something in the sewer. There's a monster down there. There's some aliens. Spoilers. And so like I didn't expect any of that to come up. But I
thought you just farmed things.
That's what I thought too, until they were like, can you go into this abandoned house? And I was like, sure. I'm building some. I have some time for my pumpkins. And then I go into the house and like creepy shit starts happening. And I was like, now I'm invested. And then I stopped playing the game, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. So that's what happens, right?
Like, it's worth playing a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I know there is a co-op update to Stardew Valley where you can play multiple people.
I have played that as well. That became... I played with my Minecrafting buddies, Professor Q, who gets super good at it to the point of where it's like, all right, he's got everything top line and I'm just like dicking around now. Like, what can I do? I feel inadequate as a gamer playing with him when he gets super into it.
The board games I bought.
I'd heard of one of them, I think. The Good Boy Dog?
Good Dog, Bad Zombie?
Yeah. I don't know anything. I remembered it being popular at some point of like, oh, this is a cool game.
And it was like a Kickstarter, I think. So it's probably word of mouth. It's a co-op game where everyone plays as dogs and you're just trying to herd humans into the like last city and keep them away from zombies. And if you don't herd the humans, you know, you're doing it because you're man's best friend. And if you don't have a human to take care of you, you slowly go feral. And so that's what the impetus of getting the dogs to be good boys. And it seems interesting and cute. I got it. I also got a game called Shifting Squares, which is a very simple game of there are squares and you shift them and you're trying to put them into a specific order and you get points based on like if you have like the bird above the frowny face or things like that.
Okay.
It's very simple, very fun. It takes like 10 to 15 minutes to play around. It doesn't take very long. And then I got a game called Visitor, which is... It's like an asymmetrical code names almost. It's a logic based game where one player is the alien, another player is the kid because there's always a kid that helps the alien.
Not evil aliens.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's up to four, you know, men in black agents trying, and the game is the agents are trying to get to the alien's spaceship, but the alien has made a force field. And the agents have to throw objects at the force field, and some will go through it, but others won't. And they have to figure out what the connection is and what the rule is for why the objects are going through the force field.
Is this like a word game, or are there actual like tiles that tell you what the objects are, or can you invent a pattern?
I mean, there are tiles with pictures of different objects that you, like, I'm putting this through at the force field, and the alien will say, no, that doesn't go through, or yes, it does go through. And the kid, like, is trying to predict, or the kid is, like, telepathically linked to the alien and is trying to help him in some way. I haven't actually gotten to play it yet.
Yeah.
But this is everything I got from the back of the box and explanations of it. And it seems like it's a fun kind of logic-based party game type
thing. A 2-versus-4 game.
Yeah. Oh, well, up to four. Like, it can be a 1-1-1 game. Like, one alien, one kid. You have to have at least 3 people.
Got it.
But the agents is where the multiple people go in that can work together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, everything else I got from it is probably pins. I collect pins, so, and PAX does this thing called Penny Arcade, where they have just like limited edition pins and that you can get or trade for. So I got a bunch of those.
Excellent.
And yeah, I think that's pretty much all I got. I mean, obviously I played more games and had a lot of fun, met people at the What's Good Games podcast meetup and everything, and got some podcasting tips. I'm going to be an expert podcaster now.
We were already experts.
We were. Hey, I forgot. Everything's in the report.
Everything we do, we're already good. We're good. The all I did this weekend was I tested a game.
You tested a game?
I somehow, through a friend of a friend, was able to be a game tester. I didn't know. Apparently you can get paid for that. I didn't.
Yeah, it's called QR.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Well, I tested it for free.
Is it QR?
Quality Control, QC?
Quality Assistance? QA, maybe?
Maybe.
QR codes. That's probably what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Like, all I know is I was supposed to play the game with friends and, like, fill out a survey and explain, like, stuff.
Was it a video game or a board game?
Board game. Ah, this guy had been developing a game. I won't say it because I don't know, like...
You don't know if you have an NDA or not?
Yeah, like, again, I didn't even know I could get paid for this.
Yeah, no. People do that all the time.
I should have been paid for this. But, so the game was in development for a couple of years. We decided to play it. It was myself, Slim, and Professor Q.
Uh-huh.
The game said it would take about an hour to an hour and a half to play a standard game.
Uh-huh.
Slim, myself, and Professor Q played this game that is still, the rules are in development. They're still writing stuff. It's still kind of, this was edition number 10, though, I think it was. So it had been through 10 iterations. We eventually finished at like 4 hours later, with at least 2 20-minute arguments that occurred during the game on, like, what are the rules? And the problem was the rules are still being made. So we found bugs.
Ah, but well, that's what QA does.
It was not, like, the game would not play again.
Because of the arguments?
I think because we need more rules. I've realized that when I play with my friends, that we need rules to tell us what to do, because some people get really concrete on how they argue on the rules, and if there's no flexibility, there's no flexibility on it. Like, what did he intend? It was almost like writing, like, something for, like, the House of Representatives, coming up with a bill or something. Because it would be like, he intends for it to be this way. And it's like, no, no, no. If we go by the exact words, it's this. And it's like, well, does he even, maybe he didn't mean to use this word. Like, it got petty. It got real petty. And then I was actually winning the entire game, figured it all out with my absurd, crappy strategy. It's supposed to be a actual strategic game. I chose to ignore 20% of the game and somehow was successfully winning. And then
you tend to do that a lot.
Again, I wouldn't unless it's successful. It was somehow successful. The problem was on the last play, literally, like, I lost just because of, like, a single card that was played on the last turn, where it would have been completely, like, all the strategy we played for 4 friggin' hours this game. I had done all the right moves and everything. And then one card completely changes it and, like, I think Slim won without, like, he was in third place and he just happens to win because of it. So,
wow.
QA testing, not fun from a, oh, let's play a game to see who wins and loses, but I guess I still haven't even written, like, I just want to sit down with the developer and, like, ask him so many questions, but they would all be about the rules of the game. It wouldn't actually be to improve the game. It would just be like, why? Why did you do it this way? Is Slim right?
No questions, just why.
Yeah, just, I have these arguments that are unsettled simply because the rules have not been written all the way through. Slim, don't write in. I was right.
Wow, you're putting your foot down, huh?
It was 4 hours. It should have been like 90 minutes at most.
I mean,
he didn't know us.
Scythe took us that
this
long.
This was not a 4 hour game, sir.
Okay, so
it was Clue. It was like Clue for 4 hours.
One single game of Clue that took 4 hours.
Yes.
Jeez. Well, I don't envy you. I will say that much. The games I played, I did not take 4 hours.
Yes. That. But, I mean, I don't know if I would do the QA stuff. If you paid me, I'll do it again.
Okay. But you're not doing this for free. Harvey Z does not QA and test things for free.
Free.
Okay.
I'll do it for other stuff. Venmo me $5.
Always with the Venmo.
One day. One day.
What are we looking at? Oh, we got plenty of time.
Yeah.
PAX East didn't take nearly as long as I thought it would. I mean, in sense of talking about the podcast. Did
you
do anything else
besides PAX? Like, when you were up in Boston, I don't know. I think Boston has other stuff in there.
Or no. I got lost.
This is why Boston, least favorite city in the U.S.
Oh, okay, so when I say I got lost, I don't mean I got lost. I mean my Lyft driver took me on a 40-minute ride from hell.
Oh, leaving or going to PAX?
Neither. I was going to the podcast meetup for What's Good Games.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lyft driver picked me up from my hotel at 1:45. I was supposed to be there. It was a 15-minute drive, according to GPS. I should have been there by 2, which is when it started. I did not get there until 2:30 because the Lyft driver kept taking wrong turns. And the GPS...
So not shortcuts, just wrong turns.
Just for about 10 minutes, we drove west out of the city when I was in city going to the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, she decided to make a U-turn. And go back when she realized, why am I going out of the city? But it was a rough experience. It was the least favorable Lyft ride I've ever been on.
You don't have to pay by the hour, but the miles? Or
I mean, I got charged extra because it took longer than it was supposed to.
It doesn't get charged less, it's more.
No, okay. Yeah, I got charged more. Anyway,
it's a life experience, I think. You learn. Yeah. You live.
The experience is roads in Boston suck.
That's the one reason I hate Boston. Plain and simple, from day one, it's a confusing city to drive in. Yeah. That's all.
Well, I don't want to harp too much on bad Lyft rides, but we can actually we've got two things we can continue to talk about. First was, you mentioned something about the Genesis Mini.
Yes.
Your buyer's remorse?
Sort of. So, like, the Genesis Mini is coming out in September. I saw it, and apparently there's, like, a four-phase rollout of, like, the games that they're releasing. They've announced, like, 10 of them, maybe 20 of them, and there's, like, supposed to be, like, 40 to 80? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And so
it seems similar to the PlayStation Classic rollout.
Yeah. But, like, I saw the 10 games, and I was like, done, sold, Toe Jam and Earl, bye.
Okay.
And then I was like, I played Toe Jam and Earl. I love Toe Jam and Earl. Like, do I need to buy an $80 game system for Toe Jam and Earl? Now, it has Sonic on it. It has, like, other games, I presume. But, like, thinking about it then, I was like, I literally bought this entire thing because I know it has Toe Jam and Earl. It is a Sega. It has two controllers, so you can play a two-player mode. But I'm like, the problem is it comes out in September. If I had bought it and it came out the same, like, week or something, I wouldn't have this remorse. But now I'm just sitting here thinking about, like, should I have bought this all this time in advance? Maybe I should wait, see what the other games are. Like, one of them's Echo the Dolphin.
So you don't have buyer's remorse. You have pre-order remorse.
Yes. If this game came, if it was already out and I bought it, I wouldn't regret this. But now I'm just sitting here thinking about, what did I do? Maybe I want to buy a different game, but I don't normally buy games. And I've just bought, like, 40 of them.
I mean, it's only $80.
Which is why I was like, yeah, but how often do I play a Genesis game?
But, I mean, maybe you want to play Genesis games more often? Like, from the perspective of the SNES Classic, which I got,
yeah,
I, like, will pick that up and dust it off every now and then. Like, I've been playing Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
I played through a lot of Final Fantasy VI. I've been playing Donkey Kong Country. Like, it has games that I like going to and playing just for, like, I'll play this for an hour. Yeah, sure.
Because, like, have you played Altered Beasts?
Yeah, I've played Altered Beasts.
I love Altered Beasts. It's a really crappy game.
True, yeah.
But, like, it was one of those nostalgic games I played as a kid. Again, I played it on emulator. I played it on other systems. I think I even played it on the Wii. We had it for, like, 99 cents. Yes. But, like, it's part of the package. Like, I'm looking at these games and I'm like, I've played a lot of these games. It's all my, like, childhood games. Do I really want to buy something that's going to... But I'm like, at the same time... Well, maybe I'll just keep this and, like, put it on the wall and look at it. And, like, this is my childhood in a box.
Childhood in a box.
Sad as it is, but it is. That's why I'm like, maybe they'll put out Streets of Rage 2 on it or something. And then I'll keep it in the box. Because, like, I really, like, I like all the games, but I played them. I have the memories of them.
But you don't want to ever play them again?
Because then I'm like, the childhood shine kind of, like, wears off a little. Where I'm like, Altered Beasts is not a good game.
I get that kind of.
Wise but at the same from time, York waves.
I mean, like, for me, the SNES Classic, all those games, I think are still good. Like, it really, I guess, depends on whether you think the sheen will actually come off if you play them. Because you can play Toe Jam and Earl
like
that, again, and
that's
no
the
problem.
One game I'll. Which is why I'm like, 80
Sonic
bucks
and
just
Hedgehog,
number one. Yeah, I haven't actually beaten the first one. I've beaten the second one, Tails. Well,
hey, you never know.
So this is the other part, I guess, in the Make Me a Gamer thing. I saw another game on Steam that I actually thought about buying.
That's shocking.
It's $20.
Oh, no.
So I was
not
like,
20
which
bucks.
Is why, again, I'm like, I just spent $80 for a whole bunch of nostalgic games. Maybe if I didn't buy that, I'd feel more comfortable buying the $20, like...
Well, buy the $20 game and spend an even 100 on games.
This is bad math. This is bad math.
What's the game?
So here's the thing. I checked on the game. It's still in beta. In development.
So it's a early access game?
Yeah.
Don't buy it. I suggest save you the trouble.
Don't buy it.
I don't put money down on early access stuff. That is my very firm rule. Like, because all
apparently
that makes you is a beta tester that had paid somebody else. It's, you're paying someone else to be a beta tester. Instead of the getting paid for the QA, you get to...
Because I'll tell you the pitch for it.
Okay.
And this is, like, literally it was on Facebook. The ad was just the pitch. And I was like, I got to remember this so that the next day, and I saved the ad so I could go later when I'm on the computer. But it is the class system and strategy of Final Fantasy Tactics meets the combat of XCOM. Boom. That's it.
That does sound pretty interesting.
I was like, I'm sold. This is a game that exists that combined two favorite games, Final Fantasy Tactics and XCOM. And then I saw, like, the screenshot, and it has, like, a grid map and stuff, except it's a dude with a sword and, like, spell casting, and I'm like, it's Tactics and it must be XCOM. And then I checked on it, and it gets weirder. It's called Troubleshooters. It's about, have you heard of it?
I've not heard of it.
Troubleshooters, you're a 20-year-old kid. It's an RPG more, then they had all these little extra qualifiers then. It's not a strategy game, but it has RPG elements. And it happens to take place in an XCOM combat situation with a tactical RPG element, but it's more of a storyline thing where you're a kid who's a troubleshooter who helps the police solve problems. And, like, it looks like a JRPG.
Okay. So it's not, like, the customizable thing of XCOM and
like,
stuff
it's
like that.
Not like that. Like, you're a kid. There's cutscenes and dialogues and stuff, so it feels almost like, what's the game? Marth and Roy or Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem?
Like, I'm thinking maybe it's Fire Emblem with, like, sequenced maps where there's specific battles, and in those battles it's like XCOM in the sense that it is tactical, there's turn-based, and it's a grid. And then it's supposed to have the expansive Final Fantasy Tactics class system of how you level up and such, but it's a fixed character that you level up.
Interesting. So it seems like something to keep an eye on, this, like, almost my speed, but not quite.
That's why,
like, every time there's an XCOM game or XCOM-like game, but the difference is it's like a fixed story, or you don't get to customize characters, I kind of get turned off a little bit. Because really, like, part of the draw for me for the XCOM is the creating your own characters and, like, creating your own story out of it.
And Tactics did that as well. Well, you didn't create characters, but you could put their names. It was that XCOM.
I mean, yeah. Tactics has a story. That's not.
Yeah, but I would create my own little side characters, and they would have their own stories until they all got replaced by super badass actual in-game characters like Mistadio and such. But, like, before, there would be, like, a Harvey Z out there. There'd be, like, Harvey Z's friends, and then slowly I'd have to fire each of them.
Because they got replaced by an A-team.
By, like, the A-team that came along. The other part was, I'll jump back on promoting. So that game, the board game, promoted itself as Clue meets Settlers of Catan. When you hear
that... I'm not sure how that would work.
That's why we were intrigued and we volunteered to playtest. There was no Settlers of Catan elements other than there was a grid. There was literally a grid on the board, and that's it.
Okay. Doesn't sound
again, like... but marketing works. Like,
yeah, you tried it because that's what you got. Okay.
We should market this podcast.
We should market this podcast.
This podcast is like Catan? No.
This podcast is like XCOM for your ears.
Super hard, and then you get frustrated and throw it away. And then you come back to it in a few years, and then you appreciate it.
More like you open it up, and sometimes it's pleasing, but other times you get a rocket to the face.
Rocket to the face? I mean, do we want to be rockets to their faces?
I don't know. Maybe.
Like, okay. I mean, we should just, yeah, we're
confident. Okay, this podcast is like if Toe Jam and Earl met, it's Toe Jam and Earl, but with Brutal Legend music.
Ooh, except for the fact that we don't have any sponsored music. But I like that Brutal Legends, you threw that one in there. Yeah. That hooks me again. I'd buy this game. I mean, wait, isn't just Toe Jam and Earl basically Brutal Legends and Brutal Legends, Toe Jam and Earl? It's one is just in the rap realm and the other is in the rock realm?
No.
I mean,
like,
you just
rock. Brutal Legend is like a weird real-time strategy game with like action.
It's a lot of things.
And yeah. Like Toe Jam and Earl is
a side scroller, a top down
roguelike type thing.
It is a rogue. Yeah, Brutal Legends is not a roguelike.
No, it's not.
So this podcast is like a roguelike for your ears. Oh, that's good. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and every time you explore it will probably kill you.
You gain more.
You gain knowledge every time you dive in.
For the next time that you play or listen to us.
Yeah, that's totally it. Make me a gamer, a roguelike for your ears. That's going to be our tagline from now on.
I'm on board.
Speaking of Toe Jam and Earl, to finish this up, we actually got to play the new game. True. And I don't think we've gotten the chance to talk about it on the podcast yet, because I went to PAX East right after we played it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of it?
I love Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah.
I was worried because I didn't like the art style when I saw it on like the pictures or the previews and stuff. Playing the game, it felt very much in the spirit of Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed it. Just the discovering the new enemies, seeing their patterns, seeing how they worked, as well as like laughing at whatever the inside jokes were about the enemies or such, making fun of humans basically in various ways.
Right.
Like, the humor and spirit of Toe Jam and Earl were there. The gameplay was similar as well. And like opening up, I wanted to sit and open up presents and try all the cool stuff. Like, I wanted to explore the game a lot more.
So it's funny because, so we played it as a three player. It was me, Harvey Z, and Slim. And me and Slim were just opening random presents because like it was the first run. Like it was the first time we played it. We might as well see what it does. I think I got a randomizer.
Like, we got like two or then three.
We got the trophy for opening three randomizers in one run. So we did real good.
Because like when I started playing it, like, so again, I used to play back in the day with like Generic Johnson, who's ruthless with it, but we would beat the game. So I knew how to play, which is Generic Johnson's view is, you open up all the presents early because randomizers come at like level 8 or so. We got pretty far into the game. For me, I always was a hoarder. But this game introduced a new dynamic, which was it actually introduced like ability stats or a point system where you could level up your characters, and it meant more than just health, but it meant like actual stats, which was, I really enjoyed that part as well. And so then it became, you could become good at presents and better at using your presents and such.
Yeah, you got more luck and like you could upgrade your speed so you could outrun people and things
so
like
then
that.
It became more of just like, the original Toe Jam and Earl was you just wandered around and chilled out. Here it was like, I want to level up. I want to try stuff. But at the same time, I wanted to beat the game.
Yeah.
And like you then opening up randomizers and secretly internally, I'm like, no. And what happened? You died, sir.
I did die.
And you started having to bum lives off of me.
I did. And I was also slow as fuck, Earl.
A key part of Earl's strategy.
That a lot of the enemies are really fast in the new one.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to say is it introduced this thing of like amped up presents, where like if you used a present on a certain floor, like it was boosted. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was pretty much doing. I was always opening amped up presents whenever I saw them because I like to get the extra boost. And then one time it happened to be an amped up randomizer. And so it didn't just randomize everything. It turned everything into like the mystery box presents.
Yeah. And then like, I think Slim got the amped up set yourself on fire one.
Yeah, he did.
That was another fun discovery of like, oh, good. Because like, you want to have bad presents in there too. And it kept up with that spirit of like, that's something that wasn't in the original. I love the idea. You have to run and find water to put yourself out or else burn to death.
I don't remember any of the Earthlings that were new aside from the one that like messed up your stats that like eliminated like,
but I think it's supposed to be a good one, the aliens or
something.
Yeah,
there was one that like added to one of your stats but like capped a bunch of your others, and so like I lost like half my present carrying capacity but I was extra healthy or something like that.
And it stuck around for, it actually had consequences. Like, I thought it would go away after like a minute or two. No.
It was, they were around for a while until you got it cured, I think.
Yeah. There was, my favorite one was the, basically the D&D group where you could roll dice to like,
oh yeah. Money. And it was there just was like the dance off.
Yeah. The dance off, which was apparently from the second game, Toe Jam and Earl 2, you could have dance offs in that one.
And then there's that weird mystery world that we couldn't quite figure out where you like go into a portal and it turns into like a kind of side scrolling running game. And we would just all completely die right away. Another one made it through once or twice. And I think I made it through once.
I think I had a pretty good run once I started to realize what it was. Yeah. But it was. Yeah, that's also apparently another throwback to Toe Jam and Earl 2 had that level in there as well. So that's why I was like, this game, it honors its past.
Even though it's based off the original one, it still honors the other second games. One
quite a bit. Yeah. Like it was made with a lot of love.
Yeah. That's why. I like it because it's not like a corporate cash-in. This is clearly something done by fans of the game for fans of the game.
Yes. Like that's, because originally I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't. And then playing it was everything I wanted as a fan. Yeah.
All right. I'm happy with it. We'll definitely play it more. We'll get you that win. I promise. I just wanted to know what the presents were, like what we could expect. Like one, we'll forge an actual run here and won't.
Okay.
The one thing I didn't like actually was whenever we got all in the same area, like. When you split up, it would do split screen stuff, but your screen wouldn't always go to the same place.
Yeah.
So occasionally, like, I'd be in the bottom, and then I'd meet up with Harvey, and then we'd split off again, and then I'd be in, like, the top right instead of the bottom. And it messed with my head, because I wanted to know exactly where I was, and I kept, like, losing myself.
And it was awkward, because I think there was three of us, and that's why, more so, like, it would shift around.
Yeah.
Because the other, like, if two people were together, it would be two blocks basically, or it would be a wider screen,
right?
And like it would be weird though, because like sometimes I'd be looking at Slims going, oh, we're both on the same like page here, and then he would walk away, and then it was like, wait, ah crap, the whole time I've been on the other screen or so. yeah.
And then of course to add to that, there is a present that actually makes you body swap with someone. So occasionally I would use that and actually be controlling someone who wasn't my character. And the cue for when you return to your own character is not very noticeable. So, like, for a while, I kept controlling the other person and didn't realize I was controlling myself, which I think is how I ended up dying, because I had switched with, like, Slim or something and wasn't paying attention to myself and was paying attention to Slim, thinking I was still his character.
But I feel like that's... Because, like, in the original, you had Cupid, which introduced, like, it just randomized your controls a little bit.
Cupid was in this one, too.
Yes, he was. But I felt like those types of, like, obstacles were in the spirit of the game.
I mean, they're definitely in the spirit of the game. It was just between, if you're switching characters and, like, body swapping, I would like the screen shifting to make a little more sense. Because, like, both the actual screen shifting... making you have trouble keep up with things in addition to anyway,
I will say though, like, you had some issues with also the map stuff, and you talked to the
I actually tweeted at the developers, because I actually had a legit question, because Slim's map wasn't working when he played, and I was like, hey, is this a thing that's supposed to happen? And they actually replied pretty quickly, and we're like, yeah, it's a bug we're fixing in the next patch,
which again, like, that sort of responsiveness is also really nice to see.
Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl's Twitter, like,
is amazing.
Yeah, their PR game is on point.
Yeah, bruh.
This is cool.
Every so often, Rule 34.
Yeah.
They keep sneaking it in there. They keep sneaking furry stuff in there.
Okay, well, on that note, I think we've about hit our time. I think we'll keep this one post-PAX East. Like I said, my brain is a little fuzzy.
Give you a break.
I'm hoping I can knock out and kind of figure out segmenting or like some sort of like overarching schedule we can follow in the future. But I promised PAX East stuff after PAX East, and I figure I'll start with the shallow end. I got one thing we can do every week now, and we'll work out from there.
I can bring in wrestling bits, but we don't need to. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, this isn't make me a wrestler. We got to remember that. That's going to be our first expansion.
Oh, yeah.
The side podcast is Make Me a Wrestler. Have you, by the way, just randomly, I listened to a podcast called What a Time to Be Alive, and I can probably do this off air, but I'm doing it on air because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the hosts of that podcast does another podcast called WrestleSplania.
Uh-huh.
Which I think you might like because it's just a podcast dedicated to wrestling and not just like WWE, but like random Japanese stuff. And
I like actually read, weirdly enough, like news posts and like not message boards, but like people who write for video games. They write about wrestling, the wrestling world, matches, things behind the scenes stuff as well. I tend to read that stuff every so often just to kind of, because I don't watch the TV episodes as much, and these have recaps on them. So I'll watch those, and then I watch the pay-per-views, and I know my stories then.
No, well, but yeah.
WrestleSplania.
WrestleSplania. If you're interested in looking I'll up probably another check podcast, it out. I'm only doing this on air because I would think about it and then immediately forget once we stopped on the podcast. And yeah. Anyway. That's it for Make Me a Gamer, the podcast you are actually listening to. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
At The Z is Silent.
You can find me at T-Man Plays Games on Twitter.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess I should mention, I forgot, it's Twitter. Yeah.
You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast on Twitter. You can find my writings at tmanwrites.com. There's been a bit of a lull because I've been at PAX East, but starting the week this comes out, hopefully it'll be back to regular updates and a bunch of PAX East stuff that I didn't get to on this podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com if you have any comments, questions, concerns, complaints.
Queries?
Queries. I was looking for another C and then realized questions was a Q.
That's why I threw out queries, buddy. I got you.
And that's it. That's all we got. Any last thoughts? Last words from Harvey Z?
Oh, man, I'm on the spot now and I just blanked out. No. No, we need to... We closed... We opened crappily with counting. We need to end better than counting. Five. Four.
No, three, no, no, no.
Two.
What did you think of the Joker trailer, by the way?
I normally don't watch trailers. Watched it. I'm excited.
It looks like it's going to be Killing Joke, right?
It does. Yeah. Well, I'm not getting hopes up, but I'm just like, I'm already really enjoying it. Mm. I don't want to watch actual trailers now, but the teaser is what I saw. Yeah, the 2-minute teaser thing.
Yeah.
Looks so friggin' good. I love Heath Ledger's Joker, but like... I see where he's coming from with this thing, and I'm interested to see where it goes.
All right. Let's end with your Joker laugh. Give me it. Come on. Give it.
I can't do Mark Hamill's like...
No. Don't give me Mark Hamill's Joker laugh. Give me Harvey Z's Joker. If you're going to play the Joker, how would you laugh?
Do I go... No. No, that's Santa. Ha ha ha! And we're good.